If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh Radio program. Sometimes my brain locks up. And thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program, a ministry of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We are thankful that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM. And if you're listening at 10:30, you might catch us on WWBC 1510 AM. So there are lots of things that are going on in Brevard County and Central Florida. I believe that God is on the move. There's things that are going on now. There are things that are in the pipeline of that are coming to Brevard County. And so we want to ask you to be praying that God would send a mighty move of God to this community. And we'd be known not just for our entertainment value, not just for our beaches or our cruise ship, that we'd be known for the presence of the living God right here in Brevard County. So we are going to be resuming our study on leadership today as how God leads us. I believe that there is a lot more involved to God's leadership than just say, okay, you lead, I'll follow. Yesterday we talked about how he guides us with his eye, and in order for him to guide us with his eye, we've got to have our eyes fixed upon him, that he will guide us with instruction and teaching. And as I'm reflecting upon that, the parable of the servants, where one was entrusted with 10 and one was entrusted with 5 and one was entrusted to 1. I believe that the reason that those people were entrusted with more is because they had spent a great deal of time around the master who had those talents, belonged to him. They were just stewards of them, but they began to work with those the same way that the master had demonstrated that he would work with it if he was there. In biblical times, a child was trained in the family business. They would learn how to get supplies. They would learn how to work with those supplies. If it was farming, they would learn how to plow the fields. They would learn when to sow the seeds. They would learn how to harvest the seeds. They would learn harvest the crop. They would learn how to care for the animals. They would learn how to sell, how to buy. They knew about all everything that went on. The father would teach the child the family business. And I believe that that is what God wants to do, that he wants to lead us. He wants to teach us kingdom business, how the kingdom operates. If you go back and look at Jesus' stories, his ministry, you will find the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like. And he would begin to expound to those he was ministering to, and he would begin to teach them the way that the kingdom operates, which is entirely different than the kingdoms of this world operate. It's a completely different paradigm. And so with that being said, today we want to fix our eyes on him. We want to tune our ears into him. We're going to take you to the 43rd Psalm today, the 43rd Psalm. Psalm 43 is actually a parallel Psalm with 42. When I'm sharing these passages, I minister on them together. They have a common expression that shows up repeatedly, and it's found in Psalm 43, verse number 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So we're not going to focus on 42 today, but I will tell you that if you read Psalm 43, go back and read Psalm 42. They fit very, very well together. Verse number 1 says this, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Several years ago, I can tell you exactly what year it was. It was 1997. I preached a message, Psalm 42, 43, and I got to Psalm 43 and it said, "Vindicate me, O God." And I shared, that message with the congregation, and my wife got injured that night. And I said, you know, if preaching that message as one message, agitated the enemy to such an extent that he launched an attack on my wife, I'm going to preach my own revival. And I did. I had a 5-night revival, and I preached on "Vindicate me, O God." And there were several different aspects of the meaning of that word. There is that concept of judge me. God, I want to come to you, and I want you to judge this situation. If there's anything unclean, you know, it was not uncommon for David to say, "See if there's anything unclean in me, and if there is, get it out. Get it out." You know, I've got a family member that has been battling a physical affliction. And there was a diagnosis that came down in December, and you know, the medical professionals, I know that they know what they're doing, but they were just taking their own sweet little time about dealing with this situation. And I know that my relative is not the only one that deals with that. There are others who deal with more extreme cases and things like that, but you know, the diagnosis came down in December, and here we are in February, and they're just now completing the process. I mean, that's 2 months. And if my mindset is this, I want it taken care of today. You know, if you've got a diagnosis, if you already know what is going on, Let's hop on this. Let's get this out of the way. Should we not have that same mindset about sin in our life, that we come to God and say, "God, if there is any unclean thing in me, get it out. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till this afternoon. Don't wait till Sunday." If you're in church and the Holy Spirit puts his finger on an area and says, "You know what? This is an area God's not pleased with." Don't wait till the altar call. Confess it right then. Get it out of your heart right then, and say, "God, I want that thing removed from my life." So I've done that. I've got a bit of an addictive personality. So when I was a teenager, my parents bought us this little console game. I think it was an Atari 2600. And they got a game called Centipede. Well, when they got up the next morning, I was still playing. I wasn't very good at that game, and I kept trying to master it. I woke up and I had some very sore thumbs because of that game, and I never did master that game. It's because of things like that I stay away from. I stay away from alcohol. I stay away from drugs. I stay away from anything that might be addictive. If If the Holy Spirit says, you know, you're spending a little bit too much time with that thing, I get it out of my life right then. It doesn't matter whether it's sinful or whether it's just a weight in my life, whether it's just a distraction. When the Holy Spirit speaks to something, I want it out of my life. And so that word vindicate means judge me. And if I'm found to be in the right, God, would you deal with my enemies? That's what vindicate means. It's like, would you demonstrate to the enemies that you've addressed this situation? And I believe that the greatest example of that is when Jesus Christ was vindicated by God the Father. He was identified as cursed because they hung him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He was accepted by the Father. He was vindicated by God. You and I, we can be vindicated today if we say, God, I want you to address my enemies over this situation. The other situation is, God, would you correct me in this situation? Would you correct me? And a lot of people don't like correction. I mean, I can tell you it's not my favorite thing in the world that I've ever had happen. But let me describe to you what happened in 1990. So I would have been very young. I was new to Florida, and I went to a credential review. And I came to discover in that review that this particular district did not operate the way that other districts that I had been involved in operated. Here I had to go for an annual review. I'd never had to go to an annual review before. And there were some other things. And so they pointed out to me in that meeting that there were some things that I was not doing that were exactly the way that they wanted them. I was doing them. I just wasn't doing them in the process that they were wanting it done. So I grabbed a friend of mine and I took him after that meeting. And I said, if I ever have a problem in this area of my life again, I want you to bring it to my attention. I want you to call me on the carpet for it, because I don't want this ruling. I want correction to come to my life now. And you know what happened when I changed the process to the way that they were wanting it? There was blessing from heaven that came as a result of that. And I can testify that since 1990, my friend has never had to one time address that issue in my life. It's something that God got it out. He brought correction, and there was blessing that came as a result of that. There's also the mindset that says, God, govern me in this process. I want you to not only vindicate me before the enemies, but I want them to see that you are now at the head of this process and that you are governing me, that your word is governing me, and that I'm going to go ahead and go forward under your command. I'm not going to operate by the dictates of my own heart anymore. Two more aspects was the concept of revenge and avenge. And the revenge, you know, we all operate, you know, with an understanding of revenge. You did something bad to me, therefore I'm going to do something bad to you. But the scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So when we say, vindicate me, O God, we say, God, I'm not going to be imprisoned by the hurts and the offenses that others have brought into my life. Instead, O God, I'm going to commit vengeance into your hands. And what I would really like to see is that person who brought pain and suffering into my life, I'd really like them to see them converted and brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's Marvel's got their Avengers series, and the only thing that I could conclude about the difference was revenge and avenge is that God avenges us for all of the things that the devil thought about doing to us. And I'm so thankful that the devil just doesn't get to implement all of his schemes, that God is there to thwart those attacks and lead us in triumphal procession. So, vindicate me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Now, in verse number 3, it says, O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. And then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. One of the ways that God leads us is he sends forth his light, and it overpowers the darkness. I remember watching a reenactment of a documentary where an army found themselves in the middle of a landmine field. And landmines are these horrific tools that catch you by surprise, and if you activate one, I mean, it does a great deal of bodily damage. And they found themselves in this landmine field, and they needed to get across this field before daylight. And what they did was they prayed. And all of a sudden, there came a mighty wind across this very desert area, and it exposed all of the landmines. And when those landmines are exposed, you know where not to step. Is there anybody today that wants God to send forth his light so that he can lead you victoriously through all of the traps that the enemy has set for you? And so I'm thankful. Now that light, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Then Jesus says about the disciples, you are the light of the world. So we are supposed to be bringing exposure and revelation to traps that the enemy has set that is meant to maim and kill and destroy people that Jesus intends to save. My privilege here on the radio is not just to bring a message that tickles the ears, but that it will bring revelation that there are traps, that there are sins that are out there, and God wants to bring light to that situation so you know not to partake of some things and to partake of other things. Let God bring light to your life. It also says, send out your light and your truth. And your truth. I think it was a year or so ago that God gave me this word. It says, in the land of darkness, light is offensive. And in a land of deception, truth is offensive. And today, I pray that God's word would go forth in truth. You see, I'm not a big fan of just making someone feel good if they're believing a lie. I want them to have the opportunity to know the truth about the situation. See, anybody can lie, but it takes a person who loves you, who's willing to tell you the truth in love. Okay? And so the truth of God, the eternal truth of God, it is designed to bring us revelation so that we know where we are supposed to go. It says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. And so I pray that as you are going about life, and, you know, here on this Tuesday, if you're making decisions about what you should do and what you shouldn't do, that you would evaluate it in the light of God's word, in the truth of God's word, and not try and rationalize it. You see, there was a time in my life when I would rationalize my behavior. If there was something, and you know, you start playing footsies with the devil, and he's going to sow all sorts of thoughts into your mind, and pretty soon you've rationalized yourself into doing things that you know aren't right, even though they're in conflict to God's word. Let's not do that. God's word will bring us, because it will lead us, and it will bring us to his holy hill. You see, when God leads you, he's never going to lead you away from the house of God. He's never going to lead you away from the people of God. He's never going to lead you into breaking covenant with God's people. He's going to lead you to them. Now, I am fully aware that there are a lot of people who have had bad experiences in church. So have I. So have I. You know, like I've said on here before, I'm sure that I've contributed to some of the bad experiences that people had in church, even though that wasn't my intent. But whatever you do, do not let that offense be what leads you, because it will lead you into isolation. It will lead you away from the house of God. And God wants to lead you to his holy hill, to his holy hill, and to your tabernacle. God wants you in the house of God. He wants you actively engaged with other believers in the body of Christ. Okay? Now, I know a lot of people that they think, well, that means that everybody's going to come and be a part of what I'm doing. Well, that might happen on an occasion, but what I have found is that many times that means that he's going to lead me to be actively engaged in what other people are doing as well. Make sure that you're not on a one-way street there with other people, that where everything revolves around their church and everything revolves around their ministry. I like to go and support things that are taking place in the community. If I can at all be a part of it, I'm going to, because I want to be a part of what God is doing. Okay? And so God will lead us by his light and his truth. He will lead us to the house of God. And the last thing that we're going to focus on today is that when God is leading us, it's going to be to a place of sacrifice. It's going to be a place of worship, and it will be a place of joy. Then I will go to the altar of God. Offering a sacrifice was a form of worship. It was something that was going to cost you something. David, when he was looking for a site to build the tabernacle, which his son Solomon ended up building, Araunah had an angelic encounter, and David saw the angel of the Lord, and he said, "This is where we're going to build the temple." And you know, the man was so thankful that his life had been spared and his sons had been spared that he said, I give it to you. And David said, no, I will not offer to God anything that's not going to cost me something. And David was passionate about building the temple. He went to a great deal of preparation to lay out the plans and billions of dollars worth of resources to build a relatively small building, but it was because it was in his heart to do that. Here it says, not only will I go to the place of sacrifice, but I will go to God my exceeding joy. I will go to God my exceeding joy. God's going to lead you in his light and truth to a place where depression and discouragement loses its grip on you, and the joy of the Lord will replace those things. Now, I'm not talking about the Monday morning blahs where you say, oh, it's Monday morning again, I got to go to work. I'm talking about Do you realize today that when you go to church, it shouldn't be World War III every week when you go to church? It should be something, hey, everybody, we're going to go tomorrow and we're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is going to speak to us tomorrow. I think that if we would build up people's expectations about coming to the house of God, we're believing for miracles to take place at Merit Assembly of God. I've been provoked by some people to believe for miracles in my own life. And so we're raising the level of expectation. Somebody said, Pastor, you know that when this miracle happens, that you're not going to be able to keep the people away. And I said, if God can handle the miraculous, he can handle the mess. That's my take on it. He's got the process all under control. Let God be your exceeding joy. There are too many miserable Christians who are going around filled with doom and gloom and despair and discouragement. And today, I want you to know that God is your joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You and I, we should be experiencing the joy of the Lord. You should be one of the most encouraging people to be around because of what God is doing in your life. And the psalmist here says, "And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." His light and his truth, they lead us to God's holy hill. They lead us to his house. They lead us to a place of sacrifice. They lead us to a place of joy. And last of all, they lead us to a place of praise and worship where we offer our giftings to God. If you're a piano player, you should be playing the piano for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you are gifted vocally, you should be singing for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're a drummer, you should be drumming for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're a teacher, you should be teaching the things of the kingdom of God. Whatever gifting you have, offer it to God as a form of praise and worship, and let him use that for his glory. He gave it to you for a reason. It wasn't just to make you rich. It wasn't to make you famous. It was a vehicle that he gifted you with that praise and worship should flow through. And that's what I got to say about that today. God bless you. Let him lead you to his house this week. In Jesus' name. See you next
time
right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." You know.